Hey, it's time to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins. Brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning.
Hey, Marty, what's going on?
Well, nothing like a little giant Dodger flip of the bat to get you ready for the rest of the weekend. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, that brought up the debate that we're hearing more of all the time about, you know, how showmanship plays in the game, the unwritten rules and what's acceptable and what isn't. I mean, if you want my opinion, I mean, I'd like to see more players showing their emotions. I mean, what Puig did was nothing from where he comes from. I mean, absolutely zero. He comes from a culture where players like to celebrate their success. They don't get busted for it. I would love to see it out of the game, but, you know, I mean, if you're a red ass, you're not going to suddenly turn into, well, that's okay. I mean, you can't change the way Bumgarner thinks. It's the way a lot of people still think in the game. It's very traditional, so it's not going to go away. But there's an incident about a month ago, I guess, where Carlos Gonzalez hit one about 8 miles off of Jose Fernandez, you know, great matchup, and Gonzalez was pretty dramatic about it, and Fernandez just sort of yelled at him with a big smile on his face, and they had a good laugh about it. And, you know, Fernandez is another one of these guys who's not afraid to show his emotions. I think it's great for the game when guys, not when they go over the top, not if they, like, run around the bases backwards. You know?
Start at third base like Jimmy Pearsall.
Yeah, or on their hands and knees or just, you know, yell at the guy. I just took you deep and I'll take you deep 5 more times. But, yeah. You know, but what Puig did was nothing.
No, it really was minor if you look at it. But he does act out just about every at bat. He throws his hand.
Well, yeah. He could have flied out to center with what he did there. I've seen him several times where he looks like he's hit it out, and it's not. He's just very demonstrative.
You know, it's fun. Someone called in or tweeted in to me this morning, and, you know, there is a possibility these two teams could meet in a 7-game series. Bruce, I'm just racking my brain here. That we've never had a Giant-Dodger playoff 7-game. We've had the 3 games.
62.
Yeah, and in 51, but I think it ends right there. You know, that's not impossible for these two teams this year.
Ah, geez, that would be just impossibly good.
Can you imagine that?
Ah, what a thing.
Well, the pitching matchups would be amazing.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. And, you know, as we look at it right now, I mean, the Giants, fantastic. They won the next two. Now they get Greinke and Kershaw. So the theater never ends.
Now, I think we've seen the last of the Dodger bullpen for the weekend. Sarah, with these two guys, they're not coming out. There's no way they're taking Greinke out for Brandon League or Carlos Perez, and Kershaw is not coming out for Jay Howell or Brian Wilson. It's not happening.
It's funny how that's developed. Everybody was talking about the Dodger bullpen in the spring, with a bunch of power arms, and, you know, legitimately so, but it's the Giants' bullpen that's really been great. The difference in ERA is radical. It's something like the ones to the fours. And you know, Romo at the end, boy, I tell you, as long as he's pitching like that, the Giants are very, very tough to beat.
Yeah, they are. Withrow is the guy.
Yeah.
He could give him an 8th inning and Jansen the 9th. So that's – other than those two – nobody comes in to relieve those two guys. I see that.
I think you're right on that.
Baseball and the Giants. 10-game road trip. They're 6-2. And I said before it started with you, we'll know a lot more about this club after this road trip. Have you learned anything about them?
Well, I mean, I've learned that watching Sandoval hit is becoming increasingly frustrating.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. You've learned that. Well, I mean, there's nothing to learn about Tim Hudson. He's just a gem. You've learned that Tim Lincecum, every start's an adventure, and you really have no idea what you're going to get, and to sit there and try and explain it and figure out where it's going is fruitless. I mean, and of course you learn now with Belt getting hurt that maybe it's something you already knew, but now the franchise's depth comes into play. There's nobody in the minor leagues that they can't wait to bring up, but their bench is so thin that they're actually thinking about Duvall. I mean, I'd kind of like to see him. Adam Duvall's hit 11 homers in Fresno. He's a third baseman, but he's played some first base. I'm sure you guys have talked about him on the show quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I I saw just a – I don't recall seeing him in spring training. I just seemed to miss him, or maybe I wasn't watching at that time, so I really didn't know anything about him. But the numbers are good. You know, is it too early to bring him up? Quite possibly. But the fact that they're thinking about it is telling.
Well, I'm not sure – yeah, well, they need it. They need someone in the – you know, in a corner.
Yeah.
The glove was never there for him. I saw him hit some nice home runs to right center field. He's got good power that way. Mm-hmm. University of Louisville, and he's come up at San Jose, 30 home runs. You know, he 100 RBIs. He's done well just about everywhere he's gone. But do you turn over first base to him?
Yeah,
and they don't do it. They don't play that game, as they like to say. So, they don't do that. But sometime this year, if he continues to do what he's doing, I think he puts himself in the mix.
Yeah, at the very least, it'd be nice to have a good bat coming off the bench. You know, there's always the argument, well, you'd rather have him getting four at bats every night in AAA. But, with their bench, there's always going to be that lack of hitting until further notice. And I think, you know, the idea of sticking Posey over there at times, Morse, Sanchez, they'll be able to fill the gap.
Yeah, I think they rotate people through, but eventually Perez goes back. And mm-hmm. I think they need someone else off the bench to do something other than Perez. And, so we'll see. But this will be an interesting move today to see what they do. Mm-hmm. But knowing them, they like to, you know, not go and make a crazy move. You know what I mean? It's generally something that's well thought out. Bruce Jenkins with us. How about Crawford this week? How about the home runs and the defense?
Oh, geez. I remember we were talking about it when he was coming up and trying to establish himself. We thought if he could hit, you know, 250, maybe 260, that'd be nice. We didn't really talk about the power, although he has had it. He's had power all the way back to college and before that. He talked about hitting two home runs, I think, in the Dominican one time. But just special is the word. I mean, it's an era of great young shortstops. You know, they're all over the place. And Crawford's fighting to keep his place in that hierarchy, but he's there. He's absolutely there. He's blowing minds all through the road trip, giving these fans, the Pirates and Dodger fans, a look at a guy who can really pick them. And, you know, in the Dodgers' case versus Hanley Ramirez, it's not close, you know. And that's going to be I think that's a crucial factor in this team's rivalry, is this that one thing where, you know, a great shortstop helps you. The whole defense comes alive with a great shortstop, and it also can fall apart with a weak one. And that's a big advantage the Giants have.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that yesterday. They put shortstops there because the balls are hit there.
Yeah.
And that's why the shortstop, you don't win without a great one.
Mm-hmm.
They talk up the middle because that's where the baseballs are hit.
Yeah, and I watch a lot of youth baseball with my daughter in high school and everything. We've gotten to know a lot of these kids out here, and even if I'm watching a team, I don't know. I always watch the shortstop. Here's the guy with the best arm on the team. Let's see how his arm is. You know, here's the guy who's the best defensive player. And, Crawford, we've always known he's got the unbelievable hands. And it hurt him last year because he did have a hand injury, and it affected his entire game. But he's totally blossoming now, and there's just no question he's in there every day. And the fact that he's hitting left-handers so well is just very impressive. I mean, it's no accident now. I mean, it's not a rumor.
400 off lefties, 170 off righties. Try to explain that one, but
right.
Who knows? Hey, the other one is Brandon Hicks. You know, I joked about the show earlier. You know, it used to be Tinker to Evers to Chance. Now it's Brandon to Brandon, and it was Brandon. Of course, he's gone. But Hicks is an ace kind of player. He's a computer guy. The on-base is better. They don't care if he strikes out all the time. The average hovers in the low 200s, but when he gets a pitch he can drive, he knocks it out of the park, and he's a number 8 hitter with 6 home runs, and just about every home run has meant something. And he got a walk last night. There was a huge walk because it preceded the Crawford home run.
Absolutely. Yeah, I thought in spring training, and I was wrong as it turned out, I thought he was playing his way out of that job because he was not making some of the routine plays, quite a few, and into the season as well. But he's really come alive defensively. And, you talk about how a play like from the shortstop can electrify the fans and your whole team. A really great double play when it's turned spectacularly by both guys is an absolute blessing for obviously the pitcher, but it's just invigorating. And he and Crawford have done some great things. Hicks really hangs in there on the double play, which is probably the most important thing you have to do if you're going to hold down that position in the big leagues.
Yeah, it's,
and if he's going to hit for power, I mean, what a bonus.
Yeah. I mean, he's a second baseman.
Yeah.
You know, he could hit 22 home runs as a second baseman. You know, I'm not sure what the Giants' record is. Probably Kent probably had 30 or something. But it's pretty good. Pretty good. Hey, tweet is in here from Audrey Bigelow. Says, according to Alex Pavlovich, Tyler Colvin is joining the Giants today.
Okay.
And Morse goes to first base today. So not completely unexpected, but glad to see him. And we had him on the show in spring training and just a good guy. And I said, you know, he hits a lot of triples. And I said, how'd you get so many triples? Because, you know, he has a lot of them. He says, I don't stop at second.
That explains it pretty well.
Yeah, I thought that was a good answer.
Yeah, well, they need to see him. They need to get a look at their investment there. He lost the job to Perez early on. He wasn't healthy. He had the back injury. But if he is healthy, you know, I think everybody needs to get a look at him. He could be a bonus, or maybe the expectations are too great. But that's what's interesting about it. And that seems like a logical move.
Yeah, I assume he'll be in left field if Morse goes to first today. I assume that's the move, not Blanco. But we'll see when the lineup comes out. Hey, did you see the Yu Darvish scoring decision last night?
Yeah, I loved it. I love the error on that. I've always been a proponent of inserting the team error into scoring. You know, it could get a little awkward, but when somebody hits a pop fly, to me that's an error right now. I don't care if there's a hurricane blowing. I don't care if nobody touched it. There's going to be an error if that ball's not caught.
Really?
I'm always in the pitcher's defense there. Or if the guy, the right fielder, makes a perfect throw to third and it hits the guy in the back or something, you know, to charge an error there is annoying to me. Or when two guys collide, the team error, I think, would come into play in a lot of cases. You know, if somebody hits a ball to the right side in no man's land and three guys charge it and then they all stop and should have been an out somewhere, you know, those kinds of things, to call them hits, and especially the one that really bugs me the most is when a ball drops in and they say, well, nobody touched it as a hit. That's ridiculous to me. It's got to be an error.
Well, I agree with you. So Bud Selig would have to straighten that out. Now, it brings me to Bud Selig. He's going to have a farewell tour. I saw that in the paper yesterday. How
about
that?
Boy, you don't want to miss that one.
Is that going to be live in a ballpark or in a restaurant? My goodness.
Yeah, it's all going to be taped. He's not going to be booed off the field, but it's not like there's going to be this big ovation.
He's going to be booed off the field.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, every park?
Every park, except his park.
I don't know about that. He's done a lot of things for the game. And, you know, believe me, the Buds people are going to be putting it out there ahead of every stop, what he's done for the game.
It doesn't matter. It's him, and he symbolizes the, you know, the DH or, you know, steroids or...
Oh, no, I'm right with you, believe me. I've been on his case countless times and have heard from him quite a bit. Very nice man, by the way. Every time he calls
the best.
Me out, we wind up having a great discussion.
Yeah, he's a great baseball
great
historian. I mean,
he really is.
Yeah,
very much so.
Very
great.
Good. All right.
Soul,
well, good. Enjoy today. And anytime it's Giants-Dodgers, as I say, it's never over until the last out is made. And, you know, we haven't seen any craziness in this series yet. But today I got a feeling Kane and Greinke, something's going to happen today. It's going to be an interesting game.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Bruce.
Yeah, you bet, Mark.
Talk to you tomorrow. Okay. All right. That is the great Bruce Jenkins. Enjoy talking baseball with him. All right.